and welcome to Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo. I'm Ryan Bickle. On today's show, we have CG Matrician from Recycle Me, Iowa. Welcome
Correct.
To the show.
Thanks for having me.
And we have a whole studio full of people today. So more people maybe than we've ever had for a single show. We have Jesse Lowry and Sam Carlson and Nikki the intern. So Jesse, why don't you get our show started today?
Thanks, Ryan. It's great to be here again and great to be in this very small studio with such lovely people. Excited to talk about one of my favorite subjects, recycling, and how it can do wonders for our environment and wildlife. I'm the Director of Conservation and Research here at Blank Park Zoo, and I always like to take the first few minutes and set the stage. The mission of Blank Park Zoo is to inspire an appreciation of the natural world through conservation, education, research, and recreation. And basically, I like to think of it as a window to the wild, a place where we can invite families and the community and schools to come in and get a glimpse of the beauty that nature has to offer. Many might not get the chance to see a snow leopard in the wild or see just how tall a giraffe is when you're standing up close or see the amazing agility of our sea lions. And then we want to turn that sense of awe that we all feel when we see these amazing animals into a real conservation action, something that's actually going to make a difference to our environment and to wildlife populations all around the world and right here in Iowa. And so we do conservation in many different ways at the zoo. One of the big things that we do is we support local programs to increase habitat for pollinators through our Plant Grow Fly program. We also remove invasive plant species from local parks like honeysuckle and mulberry through our Upcycle program. And you can learn more about both of those on our website. We also support those individuals and organizations that are out on the front lines working to save the wild relatives of the animals that we have here at the zoo. Last year, we gave over $125,000 of direct fundraising support to organizations like International Rhino Foundation, Giraffe Conservation Foundation that works in countries like Namibia to keep giraffe in the wild, Chimpanzee Sanctuary and Wildlife Conservation Trust that works in Uganda to keep chimpanzees in the wild, hornbills in Thailand, and the list goes on and on. But, you know, if you want to get the most bang for your buck, taking care of the local environment is really the way to go. And the zoo tries to be sustainable and green as much as possible, but recycling is a really big part of that. Our consumptive behaviors and the trash that we produce and litter and plastic and all of these things that naturally just comes from human civilization has a direct impact on wildlife. We've all seen those pictures of the turtle shell probably wrapped with the six-pack ring. And unfortunately, there's a video out there with a turtle and a straw that some folks have seen as well. And so especially with Iowa's wildlife, if you want to make a difference for Iowa's wildlife, we need to be really working to decrease our use of single-use plastics, and the plastics that we have to use, we need to be recycling them. But of course, it's not just plastics. And so that's why we have invited our expert, CG, from Recycle Me, Iowa. And she's a friend of mine, and I'm so excited to have you again. So have you here. So welcome again, CG.
Thanks for having me again. I'm so impressed with all of the work that the zoo does, and since learning more about it and coming behind the scenes and just in our casual conversations, I'm in shock and in wow of how much conservation work the zoo actually does in our community. So mad props to all of you.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, we've got an audience of 500,000 people here in Iowa, and so we've got a great opportunity and real responsibility actually to be a leader in conservation. And so we want to also be a leader in sustainable behaviors and sustainability here at the zoo, both internally and encouraging our public to do the same. And so that's one reason why we wanted to have you here today. So first of all, before we get into the nitty-gritties of what to put in the recycle bin and what not to put in the recycle bin and how to be better stewards of the earth, let's talk a little bit about how you got to where you are. What's your background, CG, and what gave you that passion for conservation?
Yeah, I'm asked this question a lot, and I go back and try to think of where it started. And my family was, there's a big extended family, so recycling or secondhand and trading, you know, items, cars. I'm 16, now I get grandma's car. You know, all of that stuff was just part of my natural life. And there was also a moment where my dad owned a junkyard. We'd go out there and collect all the cans out of the junk cars. And back in the day, I was a kid with a wad of cash, pumped up about recycling, not even knowing in my future that this is where my career was going to end up.
I love that. I always ask how our guests have been inspired to take care of nature and to love wildlife. And I've never heard the story that you had, you know, your dad had a junkyard. I love that. That's so amazing. And so what a cool experience to really see the resources that are available, that the secondhand resources. And I know that I grew up wearing my sister's clothes. Sometimes I liked it, sometimes I did not.
Right.
Sam, what about you? Sam, you're here from the zoo, from the education department.
Yeah. So we always shopped secondhand, and to this day, I still do. I love exploring thrift stores and finding those treasures. And I feel like as I grow older, it's something that I try harder and harder to do. It can be difficult, but just have to give yourself some extra time to look for those clothes that really work for you.
Especially, I have a daughter, she's almost 4, and one of those big aha moments that I had as a parent for the first time was, wow, you have to buy snow pants every year because they grow. You can't just buy snow pants and have them last for a few years until they wear out. And so we get a lot of her clothes secondhand and toys, and there's no reason to buy a new book.
There's so much stuff out there.
Exactly, and it's good stuff, too. And it's good for the environment.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your company, Recycle Me Iowa. What's that all about?
So Recycle Me Iowa started 8 years ago. Our 8th birthday is actually Earth Day this year. So that's pretty exciting. And I had moved to Des Moines from a small stint in New Zealand, which is where my passion for the environment really solidified. The natural beauty over there was just, it was so amazing. It would bring a tear to your eye. So I moved to Des Moines, and I was living in an apartment, and there was no recycling, and I was baffled by it. So like usual, if something bothers me, I go and talk about it a lot. So it became a topic of conversation in my social circles, and it ended up coming down to one friend wrote a business plan, another person did a website, and I just kept making phone calls and trying to find a solution to the lack of recycling options for apartment tenants.
Well, I have had a common experience. Whenever you go someplace that you really respect and you go there for an event or you go there to have fun, and if they don't have a recycle bin out, isn't it shocking?
It is, yeah. I feel like I don't see it as much anymore because of the service that you have. Recycle Me actually was at my wedding, and that was a huge help because it is hard. It's not always an easy option. So we are so grateful to have you at those places. I know you do some events too around town, right?
Yep. So we started out as a recycling service for apartment tenants. And then as soon as we got some press, a lot of businesses were contacting us saying there were these issues for them to not be able to recycle. Either a landlord owned the building and didn't want to pay for it, or there was no room for a dumpster. So we changed it into a white glove service where we come into the business and pick up the recycling during the business day. About 9 months later, New Belgium Brewery came into town and was throwing an event, and they wanted to have a zero waste event, and they contacted us because they heard about us and asked us to do it. So that first event that we did had approximately 600 plus people, and we diverted 92% of the waste at that event away from the landfill, which was really cool.
And so Sam's wedding was also a no waste event, is that right?
Yeah, we were able to do zero waste. I don't know if we did any numbers at the end, but CG was able to compost any of the waste that there was, which was amazing.
Yeah. So tell us the details of how you make an event no waste, and tell us about what kind of products would normally be used, and then how you would change it to a different product.
So one of the biggest things that anybody can do as an event organizer or as an individual is the stuff that you purchase is what is going to be either thrown in the landfill or the recycling bin or a compost bin. So being really aware of your purchasing power and the things that you bring to an event are going to have to leave the event eventually. So we start out with that. What vendors are you having attended the event and what are they bringing, what are they making, how can we adjust their purchases to being only compostable and recyclable items. And then we set up our zero waste stations and divert all the trash that we can.
And so we're talking about plates and silverware and ketchup bottles and what else?
Yep. So a lot of things that are commercially compostable are not residentially compostable. So for an event, we have a wider array of options. So we've got paper plates can be composted in a commercial compost system. Toothpicks, bamboo forks, compostable drinking cups, and then your usual pop cans, soda bottles, water bottles, that type of stuff can also be recycled. So it goes into a closed loop system instead of just a straight path to the landfill.
Tell us more about composting.
Composting is just what we do for events. There's not a doorstep service quite yet in Des Moines that is functioning well. We're constantly in conversations with the city and other leaders trying to figure out how we can shift the opportunities for individuals to have composting.
And so when you have a big event, like with a 600 attendees, mm-hmm. and you had all that stuff that needed to be composted, what did you do with it? Where did you take it?
So we partner up with a company called Green RU. They are based out of Eddyville, which is close to my hometown of Oskaloosa. And they put everything through a grinder and then put it in compost piles. So those bigger items, such as the forks and the cups and the plates, get ground up before they start to be composted.
And so if someone would just go to the store and buy compostable silverware and plates and toss them in the trash with everything else, then is that okay to do? Or does it not really compost down with inside of a closed trash bag?
So compostable items are going to be way better for the environment than something such as styrofoam. Styrofoam plates, cups, to-go containers, all of that. It's so toxic to make the items in the first place, and then it lives in the landfill forever. So it's always a better idea, like I said, that purchasing power that we have as individuals is my way of being an individual environmentalist or conservationist. Those items, the compost items, are typically made with sugars or plants, so they're already better for the environment.
That's something that I don't often consider, is just the resources that go in to make mm-hmm. something besides how you dispose of it afterwards. And I've been, you know, working in conservation for over a decade now and going to conferences almost every year talking about threats to wildlife. And poaching is a huge thing, and habitat destruction is a huge thing, and all kinds of human-wildlife conflicts have been talked about for years. But the last couple years, plastics especially and disposables are becoming a number one threat to wildlife. And a lot of times we do think about the marine animals. We think about plastic in the ocean and sea turtles. And marine mammals and things like that, but it's animals of all different types that are being affected now. Mammals to birds, especially seabirds, to reptiles, and so it's really a very widespread problem. And
correct.
Yeah, and even microplastics was in the news a few weeks mm-hmm. ago. Can you speak a little bit about microplastics and how they end up in our environment and what they're doing?
Yeah, it's very interesting. The more you learn, the more you're wowed by the industry in general. So, you know, back in the day, you'd buy body wash and it'd have these little beads and they said it was exfoliating, but that was actually little pieces of plastic that were then going down the drain. So there's been a shift. A lot of companies have been putting a lot of funding and efforts into changing their system. And there's a fantastic company called TerraCycle that helps companies figure out that system. So they have worked with Procter & Gamble to create, I believe it's the Head & Shoulders shampoo and conditioner. Some of their bottles are actually made from plastic that has been retrieved from the ocean. So they've gone even a step further than just taking recyclable plastic and making it into new recyclable items and are actually cleaning the ocean and using that plastic to make new items, which is crazy.
So cool.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's amazing to hear of all this innovation that's happening on how to get that trash out of the ocean and how to gather it up and then what to do with it. And I know that there's a couple fleece companies that can, you know, make fleece out of plastic bottles. But we know that all kinds of plastic are being whittled down, you know, not just the microplastics that start out that way, but all kinds of ocean plastic. I think once it starts to kind of disintegrate in the ocean, it becomes those microplastics. And we're even eating it in our seafood now. And there was a report that microplastics is in bottled water actually now too. So this is an opportunity, I think, that we need to really step up and take control of what's happening. And we can do better. So what are some of the, talk more about some of the challenges to recycling that the average person would have, kind of what needs to go in the bin, what should not go in the bin, those types of things.
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge in recycling is wish cycling. So when you have an item and you don't know what to do with it and you, it's plastic to you, so you wish it was recyclable and you put it in the system. If it's not actually meant to be in that system, it actually, it has a negative effect on the industry. So items such as the plastic containers where you get your spinach or berries, your fruits and vegetables, those items are actually not recyclable in Des Moines. So they may be in another city and another state. So I also let people know my recycling rules are not your recycling rules. It's a big issue in the industry, but systems or programs such as ours at Recycle Me Iowa, it's such an individualized service that we can discuss that issue with the exact person that is creating it. So we're able to educate individually a lot easier.
And I think the guidelines between about what can be recycled, they change all the time. So you need to constantly be checking the website. Things like pizza boxes cannot be recycled. Is that right? Because they're too greasy. Yep. What are some of the other things that you think people are doing wrong? And when they do put that spinach container in the bin, what happens? I've heard that the whole lot needs to be thrown out sometimes.
Sometimes contamination will create an issue for the entire entire container. Otherwise, if they can catch it, when it goes through the machines, a human will pick that out and make sure that goes into the trash.
I saw a viral video on Facebook recently about tin foil being recycled, but then I found out that that's not true in Des Moines. Is that right?
Correct.
Oh, shoot. I was super excited, and then it was a roller coaster, but so how do we fight for some of those things, or is it out of our hands?
I think the phrase that we can always step back to is the reduce, reuse, recycle concept. So if we can reduce the need for that item in our lives, that would be the first best step. So going back to the plastic straws, they're not recyclable. They're a problem in our environment. They get into the wildlife. Everybody has seen that poor turtle and their heartstrings were pulled. But yet when we go have a drink or go to a restaurant, we're still not saying no to the plastic straws. So that first step is reducing and then reusing your water bottle and then recycling if you have no access to bringing your reusable water bottle and you need to get a plastic water bottle. So
I've been struggling with the straw thing a lot. I think it's one of the hardest ones to do because when I go to a restaurant, I'm really excited. Eating out is a special thing for my family. I have a daughter. We sit down. I'm getting her coat off. I'm looking at the menu. And it gets me time after time after time because the waitress just brings the straw. And then it's too late because it's already in your drink. Or if it's put on the table, it probably is already kind of wet from, you know, the water and things like that. And also, it takes a little bit of, I don't know, you have to be kind of outgoing when you walk into the restaurant and say, no straw, please. And some of these restaurants have not heard that yet. And so they're wondering, what did you say? And why are you saying this? And so I can imagine for people who might be a little shy, that might be hard for them. Yes. But yeah, straws, they really never go away. And so it's something that hopefully we can engage with restaurants and ask them to not offer the straw unless people really request it. And yeah, reusable straws are available as well.
Yeah, there's a huge trend right now, the anti-straw movement, where places, coastal places, if there's a restaurant on the beach, they're saying no straws. It's starting to become illegal to have plastic straws around because, unfortunately, if one does get to the trash can and then gets to the dumpster, sometimes those bags will be opened, and when the truck comes by to dump it, it might be windy and a gust of wind can blow it away.
Exactly. But. And we've actually not had straws here at the zoo for years for that exact reason.
Yay.
Because we've known that it really poses a threat to our animals. And so Blank Park Zoo has been straw free for years and years and years. And so we need to be thinking about that for the broader wildlife as well.
That's awesome. And I love to talk trash all day long, but I do find some comedic relief at times when you do go to a store and you say, oh no, I don't need that plastic bag, or no straw please, and people look at you like you're an alien.
The plastic bag too, I feel like it's just automatic, just like the straw, and it's kind of hard. I think it will be training those grocery stores to say, did you bring your own?
Yep.
Instead of, is plastic okay?
I would love to challenge grocery store leaders to train their cashiers to say, did you bring your own bag instead of paper or plastic?
Mm-hmm. It would save them money as well.
Yeah.
I shop at Aldi's, so just go ahead and do a little plug right there. And they don't have bags. You have to bring your own or you'll be carrying your groceries out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you go to another like pharmacy or drugstore and you have like two items and you say, no bag, please, they're like, you're going to carry that out yourself?
Yeah.
Yes, it's two items. I will carry it out. It's
I've carried it up here. I can carry it outside.
So another big one is plastic bottles.
Yes.
It's a huge thing that ends up in our oceans. And so I think that most people now are using reusable coffee cups and bottles. But that's something that we really need to get better at.
Yeah. So a lot of places in Des Moines don't have recycling still. Some of the larger events, they're working on it. They're doing a better job. You know, as long as we can keep moving forward and do better than we did last year or yesterday, or then we're progressing and we're moving forward. So water bottles, I love when we in the Midwest talk about the oceans and the beaches, and sometimes it's a disconnect for those of us who've never seen the beach or have never been to the beach, but when we litter on our streets, or if something doesn't get put in the right spot, it can go into the storm drains, which then goes to the rivers, which then flows to the oceans. So it is everywhere, whether you're inland or on the coast. So I like to connect that to individuals in the Midwest as well, that even though we're far from the beautiful ocean waters, we still have these beautiful lakes and rivers. And if you go and kayak or spend some time on the river, you can definitely fill up a kayak with some river trash.
Sam, I have seen a Facebook post from you lately about your reusable bags that you use to get produce at the grocery store. Tell us about how that's working out.
Sure. So they are the produce bags so that I don't have to put all of my apples in a bag. Sometimes it's really confusing if you just have a bunch of loose fruit. I know I've run into you at the grocery store with all your loose fruit. So they are just cloth bags. And it has been kind of an adjustment for the cashiers. But what I started doing, I think it's kind of hard because they can't see through the bags. So I started putting the produce sticker on the outside, and it's working so far. So
fantastic.
Less confusion.
So they weigh a little bit, though. So are you paying a little bit more for your produce?
I might be. I guess I never thought of that. It's worth it.
It's worth it. I don't think it would be too much more weight, if any, at all. But it's interesting to think no plastic bags when you're at the checkout, but then you go into the fruit aisle and there's that plastic produce bag. So many steps we can take to do better.
Okay, here's one that I don't know how to get rid of, you guys. Ziploc baggies.
Oh, yeah.
There are reusable baggies out there. They're washable, so they've got a nice lining in between it. So I've started to adjust my purchases slowly but surely so I can start working towards a zero waste lifestyle as much as possible.
I do have a couple of those too, and they go through the dishwasher pretty easily.
Oh, really?
They just have like a Velcro But I know with a 4-year-old, it's tricky.
It's hard. Yeah. We eat a lot of snacks on the go.
And if you can think back to, you know, the Depression era, or maybe some grandparents of yours, I know that mine did, they would wash the Ziploc bags. Mm-hmm. So they would reuse them over and over again. Mm-hmm. Well, part of it was frugality, but it works. Mm-hmm. Just a quick little rinse and turn them out to dry.
My grandma did that as well. What about toothbrushes? It's another one I have not made the switch. Have you guys made the switch to bamboo toothbrushes? How's that all work?
I have one.
Yeah.
It tastes like bamboo at first. But, I mean, it's just like a regular toothbrush, so pretty easy. The thing that I struggle with is that I have to get them on Amazon, so they have to be delivered to my house, which I don't know. It seems like that's a lot of resources to get them to me, but I'll have to search for a local source of those.
Yeah. And Nikki, the intern, is over here. He's giving us a thumbs up on the bamboo toothbrushes. So she's doing her part as well.
She's like, the bamboo tastes great.
I've got one for you, Jesse, because I know we've had conversations about this, and I think it hasn't been marketed very well, or there's not a big emphasis on it, but balloon releases.
Facepalm. Yes, they're so bad for wildlife. And balloons are often released when someone passes away, or it's a graduation, or it's a celebratory event. But what comes up must come down, and they come down and break up into small pieces. Some of them maybe are kind of biodegradable, but it takes a long time for that to happen. Mm-hmm. And wildlife mistake it for food or get entangled in those strings. And so never, ever release a balloon. Plant a butterfly garden instead. Blow bubbles instead. You can cast some bird seed instead. There's lots of things that you can do to remember a loved one. But releasing balloons hopefully will not be allowed at some point in the very near future, because they just end up right back in our waterways.
Yes. So if you're an event organizer out there or on a committee and someone wants to do a balloon release, please say no.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Well, thank you so much for being here. And we're so excited about the great work that your company is doing. So tell us again what your company is called and how do people find you?
Yes. So it's Recycle Me Iowa. We've got a great presence on Facebook, on Instagram, and we also have a website. And if you would like to get to know more about us or meet us, we will be having an open house on April 19th for our 8th birthday celebration. It is from 5:30 to 7 at Collaborate DSM.
Thank you so much for being here and the great work that you're doing.
Recycling good vibes right back to you. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us today. And if you want to learn more about Blank Park Zoo, head on over to our website at blankparkzoo.com. Well, that's all we have for you today. Join us next time for Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo.